Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text for the message this morning is drawn from the Epistle lesson, Colossians 3. The year 2018 is coming to an end at midnight tomorrow night. And the arrival of a new year often leads to contemplation
and resolutions. As to your personal intentions, I leave that to you, but Paul gives us good words as we look to the upcoming year. And whatever the Lord has in mind for Christ the King Lutheran Church, for his people here and everywhere, as we await his return in glory. Now the text today dealt with two basic principles. The first two or three verses dealt with love. And the rest of the verses read dealt with peace. So we're going to kind of split the sermon up into two sections, love and peace. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. That's how our epistle began. Put on these virtues, it says. Don't just haul them out from time to time, but clothe yourselves in them, wear them constantly, and treat other people accordingly. Clothe yourselves in compassion and kindness. Wear these daily. Where people are in need, do what you can to assist them. Don't do so out of pride or in such a way that broadcasts how much it inconveniences you, but do so with compassion, because your brother and sister is in need of help, and you're God's instrument to help them. Now, on the other hand, as you're able, act as you can so that you don't burden others, but so that those who are in greater need receive the help that's necessary to help them. This goes for congregational life as well. Act with compassion toward the body of Christ here in this church and in this place, where there's the need for service and help. Set aside the time to be merciful to the congregation here in Billings. Clothe yourself in humility, meekness, and patience. The world works by power, by striving to gain for yourself, by being better than those that surround you. That's not how Christians live. Don't clothe yourself in pride, which draws attention to your own achievements, however big or small they are. Rather, put on humility, which seeks to serve others for the sake of Jesus Christ. Don't seek to use what authority God gives you in order to make people serve you, whether your office is authority as a parent, or a teacher, or a pastor, or a supervisor over a crew, or the head of the household, or whatever. Rather, clothe yourself in meekness that uses this authority to serve. Be patient. Clothe yourself in patience. There will be plenty of people and situations which annoy you and inconvenience you because even hurt you. Be patient. For the Lord is patient. He's very patient with all of you. As you're clothed in these virtues, the text then instructs you, bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do also. The elect of God, saved by grace for Jesus' sake, are still plagued by sin in this world. Therefore, it's necessary that each of us bear with the faults of each other and forgive each other. This is patently obvious and yet terribly difficult. There will be brothers and sisters in Christ whom you don't like so much. And when you encounter such people, it's easy to spot whatever weaknesses they have and target them. either to marginalize them, push them out, or just make fun of them. This shouldn't be. You and I each have weaknesses and we have limitations. We have some talents and lack others. We each have sins which need to be addressed. And I'm not saying we should overlook sin, especially doctrinal error, but where it's simply a matter of personality, bear with one another. Where there's sin, clothe yourself in repentance. If you're the sinner, in forgiveness if you're the victim. Second, the Lord doesn't require you to like people you don't get along with, but he does require you to love them. This brings us to the third verse of our text, the summary of the first half. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Clothe yourselves in love, wear it constantly, not the gooey emotional stuff of romantic movies. That's not the love to which our text speaks. Rather, this love is the totality of all the virtues listed in the previous section and verses and more. It's all good thought, word, and deed put together. It's the hard work of service toward other people. It's the bond of perfection, our text says. Or in the words of Romans 13, verse 10, love is the fulfillment of the law. As brothers and sisters in Christ, you are daily and continually to clothe yourself in fulfilling the law. You're daily to love God with all your heart, your soul, strength, and mind. And you're daily to love your neighbor as yourself. That leads us to two more remarks about the first half of our text. One is that by now, friends, the warning bell should be ringing in your head. You're already thinking, we're to clothe ourselves in love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Therefore, we're daily to clothe ourselves in the perfect keeping of the law. And therefore, we're never clothed as we ought to be, because perfect obedience is beyond the abilities of sinners like each and every one of us. This is absolutely true. It's not an excuse to be unloving or to give up trying to obey. To do so is to enslave ourselves to sin. The more we put on love, albeit imperfectly, the better we will function as a congregation. All the same, we will never love as we should. That's why, as much as we need to hear this law, we also need to hear our Lord's gospel. Our behavior won't save us. Christ will. That good news is coming soon. But there's one more thing of which we should speak. One sin that I want to warn you about. I've heard it said that the foundation of the church is, and we hear it in a lot of different churches today, the foundation is love. The church stands or falls on love. As long as we love one another, then the church is in good shape. As long as we love the people around us, they will become Christians as well. It doesn't sound bad, does it? At least not at first. But consider this. If the church stands or falls on love, then the church stands or falls on what we do. If people become Christians because we love them, then we're saying that people are saved by our works. Suddenly, this doesn't sound good or so good anymore. Clearly, in fact, this is truly a false teaching. There are side effects to this false teaching. If our love is the foundation of the church, then our Lord and his salvation, they're no longer needed. Therefore, the argument goes, since what matters is that we love each other, then we don't have to be so careful about what we teach and what we practice. We don't need to teach and work exactly according to God's word. Rather, we need to change our practice so that what we do appears to be loving. By the grace of God, we must give a two-pronged defense. The first is that true love is the keeping of God's law. And God's law demands that we keep every jot and tittle of his word. Therefore, anything that departs from God's word is no longer loving, even if it appears to be so. The second is this: no matter how much we love, it doesn't save us. If we're forgiven, then love will undoubtedly follow. But if we're not forgiven, we're lost eternally, no matter how much we love. That's why this sermon and text each have a second part. The preaching of the gospel. That's why we turn from love and turn to peace. Let the peace of Christ, we read in verse 15, rule in our hearts, to which you were called in one body. When the angels sang praises to shepherds at Christmas, they sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. When Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, his first words to them were, "Peace to you." Sin causes strife. It makes enemies. We witness this in our dealings with other people all the time. But that's only a little reminder of a far more awful truth. Because of our sinfulness, we're naturally enemies with God. If we're to be at peace with God, then our sins must be taken away. That's what Jesus has come to do, to bring peace by taking away sin. The peace of God is nothing else than the forgiveness that Jesus brings to us. So after instructing you to clothe yourselves in love, telling you that you should keep God's law, Paul quickly tells you to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Be forgiven. Where you're not as merciful as you should be, Jesus Christ is merciful to each and every one of you. He doesn't reward you according to your love, but according to his, because he has died and he has risen for you. He mercifully forgives you all your sins where you're not kind. He's the kindness of God who has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. In other words, because you can't clothe yourself in kindness as you ought, Jesus has clothed you with himself in holy baptism. Where you're neither humble or meek, Jesus has cloaked his power in meekness and humility, suffering God's judgment for his enemies in your place, dying your death so that you may live. And where you're not patient, the Lord has suffered with your sin and still patiently grants you his grace today. His grace gives you peace with God. And if you have peace with God, you're his beloved child. And if you are his beloved child, then every good gift of God belongs to you. As Paul points out, this determines the substance of our worship here. For all worship should be designed to bring you to the peace of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, declares our text. We therefore speak the word of Christ to you. For by it the word made flesh dwells in you with all his grace and favor. There are other words in the world that give wisdom and help and good advice, but it's only this word that gives you peace with God. Likewise, we teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. As we sing the liturgy and hymns here, we sing God's word to him and to one another. There are many other songs that convey all sorts of knowledge and good feelings, but the music for worship is that which proclaims God's peace with us in Jesus Christ. Thus, whatever we do in word and deed, we do it all in the name of Jesus. We do it as those whom he has put his name on, as his people. In other words, we love because he first loved each and every one of us. If we're forgiven, love will follow. If we're not forgiven, all is lost. As the sermon draws to a conclusion, we dare not ignore today's gospel lesson and its importance to us today. Simeon is told by the Holy Spirit that he will see the Christ at the temple. And so he goes to find Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. We don't know much about Simeon. In fact, for all we know, he may have been a believer who struggled with love and lacked much in the way of mercy, kindness, and patience. Whoever he was as an individual, by the grace of God, he believed that the baby in his arms, that helpless, that fragile baby, was his Savior. And so he sang his song, which begins, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. Simeon didn't appeal to Jesus to save him because of his Simon's love. Rather, Simeon prayed that the Savior would act according to his word and thus bring peace between Simeon and God. As long as the Lord preserves you here, you will come to the altar and receive the Lord's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. The same flesh and blood that Simeon held in his arms, because the same Savior is present with you. Afterwards, you'll sing Simeon's song, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For dear elect of God, you live with the certain comfort that the Lord Jesus Christ comes to you with grace and life. He clothes you with himself. And folks, he grants you his peace. Indeed, the peace of the Lord be with you always, for you are forgiven for all of your sins. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.